I don't believe that some of you have really come to know the Lord, because serving God is joy. And I know we all have problems. I do. We have different things that happen. We have conflicts of mind and body and spirit. And these things, of course, is to depress us, cast us down, keep us from our joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And the devil realizes that he can't really overthrow you or separate you from the love of God. He knows that. He knows the love of God is too great for that. But what he does understand is that if he can depress you or cause all kind of conflicts or problems in your mind and in your life, he will depress you to the point that you will lose your joy, and then you don't have the strength to prevail against him or fight against him to create problems in his kingdom or to help God to establish his kingdom. So he knows that. That's why he does it. That's why the Bible said, happy is the man that doth not condemn himself over the things which he alloweth. That is, if you're not practicing wrong and you're not trying to do wrong, and then something happens to you and you know before the living God you had no intentions of doing wrong, then you should never condemn yourself over it. Repent, ask the Lord to forgive you, go on and never condemn yourself over it, and keep your shield of faith up that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And if you're using that scripture or other scriptures for a crutch, so that you, every time you do something or want to do something, you know, you just ease back into the flesh, you know, and say, Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know, you know, you know. You know, you don't have anything to begin with. That's evil and that's foolish. And you don't have anything to begin with, so there's no need you worrying about it one way or another. But I know that some of you have never tasted of this wonderful thing of God, because it lights up your soul. If it wasn't for the conflicts that God allows to come into my life as a stream, I don't think I could stay here. I really don't. The joy of my life and the strength of my life in Christ is so great and so mighty. I don't see how I could abide in this world. I just don't see how I could. So God has let manifold problems arise in my life, and conflicts of mind and spirit and everything else, manifold problems, so that so they can keep me around. Because I really, you know, even as it is, Paul said, I have a desire to be with God, which is far better. And it was the same way with Paul. God let manifold things come upon him, even a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Because even at that, Paul still was caught up to the third heaven, saw things that was not permissible for him to speak. Just to keep Paul around, God had to let those things happen. This is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. I could say so many things that would just, if you just had an ear to hear. I want to read just a little bit from 1 Corinthians, comment some, and a lot of things the Bible speaks of that it's hard to understand unless you understand godliness. Like, for instance, the Bible uses the terms the foolishness of preaching. And then it uses the terms the foolishness of God. And then it uses the terms the weakness of God. And, of course, if you didn't understand what God was saying, you'd certainly get all mixed up and quick. Reading from chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spirituals, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and division, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? All right. Now, I want to comment just a little bit. He says here that we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now, if we consider that as to a certain way that people consider things, that means that none of us would never get no wisdom, would we? He would never speak no wisdom to any of us because ain't none of us perfect. Isn't that right? So I guess that leaves out little Bethlehem altogether and all the rest of the church world. You know, they teach that no man's perfect. So I guess there's no way to speak wisdom to anybody, religious or otherwise. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. But now if we consider the scriptures according to the way that I've taught them to you, that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, then little Bethlehem might have a chance to hear some wisdom. It could be that he would be speaking to us. Have you believed that? Can you give the Lord a hand? I'm glad he done it all, ain't you? I'm glad that the wisdom of this world is where the error is. That's why he said, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. So then, this is a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. And God brings out the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which is of God. He said, if the princes of this world had known this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But their eye has not seen, and their ear hath not heard. It's never been in their heart, the things that God prepared for them that love him, which is the hidden mysteries. So he hath revealed these hidden mysteries unto us by his Spirit, which are promises of the wonderful things of God. So then when we see this, we realize that we are made perfect by God, and he brings us the hidden wisdom because we are perfect. And why would he do that? Because it agrees with the scripture, where the Bible said, and he that overcometh, I will give unto him of the hidden manna. Not to everybody, but of him that overcometh, I will give unto him of the hidden manna. You can't eat of the hidden manna, which is the hidden wisdom, unless you overcome. And the thing that you have to overcome is yourself. He that overcometh self, I will give unto him to eat of the hidden manna, or that is to have the hidden wisdom. That is the revelation of the Son of God. So then, when we see that we have to overcome. Then I turn and I say, oh God, that puts me in a precarious place. Because if you say that I have to overcome, as Paul said, I feel like I'm chief of sinners. And that I stumble more than ye all. So I say, then what must I do? And then the Bible, I hear God say, be of good cheer, son. I have overcome the world. And then I say, you've overcome the world. He says, for you, I've overcome the world. But why did he have to overcome the world for himself? He was perfect to begin with. So I've overcome the world for you through my perfection and my ability. I have overcome the world. And he said, and this is that overcometh the world, even your faith in God. So I say, then I've overcome. If I've overcome, then you promise to give to me of the hidden manna. He that overcometh, I will give to him of the hidden manna. So this hidden manna comes to me, and I feed on it every day because I have overcome. The Bible said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith and the works that I have wrought in your behalf. And then John tells us, says, young men, you've overcome the world. How have they overcome the world? They've got strength. What kind of strength? I spoke to you about it at the first of the service. For this is your strength, even the joy of the Lord. The devil wants to oppress you to keep you from the hidden manna. He wants to oppress you to keep you from the joy of the Lord. And why would he keep you from the joy of the Lord? As long as he can keep you from the joy of the Lord, then he can keep you from overcoming the things of his kingdom and the powers of evil that he uses. It stops you from injuring his kingdom, and it keeps you from interfering with his program in the earth to overthrow and destroy mankind. So it says here that this hidden wisdom, the men of this world, the great intellectuals of this world, they've never seen it. They've never heard it. That is, they've never seen it with their eyes of understanding. They've never heard it. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Have you ever gotten into the deep things of God? God said to Peter and the fishermen, said, launch out into the deep, then let down your nets. So big fish stay in deep water, isn't that right? You could catch little fish in shallow water. When I was a boy, I used to go down to the branch or to the creek. And sometimes even when I was real small, like some of these that was up here, I'd, you know, maybe a little bigger, I'd take me a straight pin or a safety pin and go down to the crawdad hole and catch crawdads. Fishing for those kind of things. But when you fish for big fish, then you have to get out into the deep. So he says, these things come by the Spirit searching out the deep things. See, the Spirit searcheth out all things. But it says here, the deep things. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man? Now, if I want to be a hunter, a fisherman, if I was going to frolic, if I was going to make money, if I was going to be in business, you know, whatever I was going to do, those things belong to mankind. To eat, to drink, to build, to sell, to buy. Those things belong to mankind. So then the spirit of man knoweth those things. And those things cometh to the spirit of man. You start out here today, whatever you want to do, if you want to nail, saw, buy, get gain, whatever you want to do, if you'll set your mind and spirit in that direction, all of those things will come to you. And you'll sow to the flesh and you'll reap of the flesh those things that deteriorate or those things that corrupt. For if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap deterioration or corruption. So all of those things will come to a man, but not one time will the things of God ever come to that man. Not one time. If he's carnal-minded, if it is the spirit of man that is preeminent in his life, not one time will anything from God ever come to him. Not one time. For to be carnally minded is death. And he that liveth in pleasure as to the spirit of mankind, the Bible said he is dead while he lives. But if you get into the spirit of God, the same way that the things of man knoweth the spirit of man, so does the things of God know the spirit of God. And if you get into the spirit of God, then the things of God will come to you. Prophecy, healing, discernment, overcoming, the beautiful revelating thoughts of Almighty God, the invisible treasures, the heavenly treasures that are given to us in these earthen vessels. So it tells us that but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What is the spirit of the world? It's the spirit of the devil. See, the Bible said, greater is he that is within you. That is deep down in my heart, Christ, the hope of glory, or the hope of that world of glory. Greater is he that is within me from my new birth than he that is in the world, even the spirit of the world, the spirit of Satan, he that saveth the things that be of the flesh. I don't have to worry. I am greater inside than Lucifer. That is, Christ in me is greater than Lucifer. And as the Bible has said, no man can spoil another man's goods unless he's first able to bind the strong man. But in that there is nothing that's stronger than Christ, and Christ abides in this house. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle or this house, if this house be dissolved. So he abides within this house, and Lucifer is not strong enough to go in and bind him. Christ can come into a heart and bind Lucifer and cast Lucifer out. But Lucifer cannot in return come in and bind Christ and cast Christ out. So we have a greatness on the inside so that we don't have to worry. The Bible said when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, and that Christ casts the unclean spirit out. When it's gone out of a man, it wandereth through dry places and it seeketh rest. It can't find any rest because it's wandering through the dry places. And the dry places means that it is without heavenly water. So as it wanders through the dry places, it is seeking a place to hide away. And it goes all around. It can't find a place. Then it comes back to the same place where it has had its abode all the time. When it comes back to that individual, the Bible teaches that it rises up to come in, and it can't come in because the place has been cleansed, it's been purified, it's been sanctified, and Satan can't come into that house. Now, I remind you again, in the Old Testament, we have types and shadows all down through the Old Testament. And the little houses that they lived in that day could develop something on the inside. And it was called a plague. And they would go in and examine it. The priest would look at it, and it would be a plague that would be moving through the wall. Now, all they had to do was take hyssop or certain mixtures that they had, go in there and paint over it. It would kill the plague. The little house was safe to live in. All of that was symbolic of a sanctification. It was a type of this little house. And on the inside, things happen, and we make errors and mistakes and trespasses, and plagues develop. And the high priest of our confession, even the Lord Jesus, he examines our heart. And if it is something that is a plague within the walls of our little tabernacle or house, why, he just puts the blood over to whatever, if it's something that we have unwillingly done. See, and it covers it. And the plague is healed. And the little house is redeemed. That is to say, though we're are as an inner being on the inside, we have an outer house. And this outer house has an inside to it. And it has to be cleansed. Being a spiritual being is one thing, but living in the little house, as to God redeeming the house and moving away the diseases of it, as we would say as to the medical world, moving away those interior problems, moving them away as to that, as to us having that house to live in, then it depends on whether or not it's covered with the blood. They put the blood on the doorpost. They put the blood on the sides of the door. And the little house had the blood as to appear over here and down here as a cross over the door. Jesus said, "I stand at the heart's door and I knock." And on the inside, they were eating of the lamb. Jesus said, "Drink of my blood and eat of my flesh." They drank of the blood of the lamb at the midnight cry while the death angel was passing. But over the door of the firstborn, there was something that protected them. Jesus said, "And everyone that opened the matrix as to the firstborn shall be holy unto the Lord." So we have a picture here of this little house and of the interior problems as to the Old Testament. We get a type. We get a shadow of these kind of things. If we're going to have redemption of the body, if God is going to save our body, then we have to have that cleansed on the inside. If the high priest happened to look around and see a plague that could not be healed, then the little house was condemned. It was overthrown. You couldn't live in it. So you that willfully sin, where there's still a conscience of sin, your house will be overthrown. And the Bible teaches that they would burn it with fire. But if the high priest examines it and finds out that the plague can be eradicated, then you can have this little house again. God will bring it by the dust, and someday he will give it to you in a changed, glorified form, to where your inner man as a spiritual being can live in it forever. For it will not be as then a little house. It will be a mansion, even a member of the house of Almighty God, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, we see that when the unclean spirit is driven out, the sanctification begins to take place. Now, if it is cleansed, the devil can't come back in it as one single spirit. He can't get in. It takes a super strength to be able to prevail just against the sanctifying purity of the little house. So then he goes his way. He gets seven other spirits, even more wretched and wicked than himself. And whereas you might have done nothing but drink, here comes another spirit to suck on weeds, another to chew on cud. Here comes another that is a lust spirit. Here comes another that is a money-hungry spirit, a gullible spirit for the things of the world. Here comes another spirit that is a temper spirit. Here comes another spirit, a hatred spirit, a bitter spirit, and on and on and on. Like it was with Legion. He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So many spirits was in him. See, he was so strong that he could break chains. So then here comes seven more spirits, and together they form a new strength, and then they force their way in and defile the house again. And the Bible said the last condition of that house is worse than the first. If you ever come into the knowledge of God and you know right from wrong, and then you begin to manipulate a little over here and a little over here, you keep adding something, say, "Well, There's nothing wrong with me watching a few good things on TV, and nothing wrong with me keeping up with the Bulldogs or some sports in the paper. Nothing wrong with me singing a few little rock and roll songs, you know, or listening to a little something extra on the TV, and all these kind of things, a little bit of gossiping, a little bit of backbiting. The Bible said the little foxes spoil the vines because our vines have tender grapes. Just a little bit of prestige of the world, just a little bit of associating with people that I shouldn't be associating with, or going to places in the world I shouldn't be going to, just a little bit of that. See, we don't realize that that is adding spirits and allowing spirits. Thoughts, spirits come in the form of thoughts. And as those thoughts come to you, every time a thought comes to you, it is of a nature as to a spiritual origin. And it either has to be your spirit or Lucifer's spirit, or it has to be God's spirit, one of the three. I preach on the three minds, and it has to be one of the three. Now, this is why that I emphasize the powers of depression. You may have the mind of Christ, where the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You may have the mind of Christ. You may feel the security of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, you will feel the security of Christ. You may have the mind of Christ. Now, the mind of Christ may be in you, and you may be filled with joy and jubilance, and you may be happy, but all of a sudden there's something else that comes. Your thoughts is joy, peace, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden there comes another form of thinking. There comes another mind, and this mind comes over you. And this other mind that comes is a depressing mind. It is a mind that just robs you of all your strength. It hits you in your thinking capacity, and you think, oh my God, that dirty, filthy devil. You know, and if you're not wise, you don't even know it's the devil. You think, oh my God, that's the kind of person I am. You know, and it strikes your mind, and it comes to you. And then depression and gloom begins to come over you. And maybe just 2 or 3 minutes before then, you were singing, glory, glory, hallelujah. And just shouting and praising God, you know. And all of a sudden, you're just down at the bottom of the stack. All the way down. And you feel, I'm dirty, I'm filthy, I'm wretched, I ain't nothing. You know, and that devil says, you're right, you're right. Another thought comes and another thought. He says, you discovered it at last. I've been telling you all the time you wasn't nothing but filth, you know. And down, down, down you go till he just heaps thoughts upon you of discouragement. Then he'll say, you know you ain't nothing. You can't get near God. And he'll keep on, and after a while you'll think, now I know God ain't going to hear me. And the devil said, that's right. Your finances gone and everything's gone. You know, you're going to have to just turn around and just do whatever you feel to do. Just lose your temper and slap somebody down and go on and forget about this religion and all this kind of thing. And let's me and you get together and let's pitch a drunk. And it don't matter if you rob or cheat or gamble or whatever. You got to have a living. And the first news you know, you're in bad shape. And about the time he gets you like that, he'll call the wife to say something if it's the husband. And that'll make it a lot worse because she's partly carnal-minded at that time, and she don't know the devil's already walked all over you. Or he'll cause the daughter to do something, or the son to do something, or the neighbor to do something. Or even the preacher will say something. And you'll put it all together the way the devil told you. And you'll stack it up according to the way he told you to do it. Why does he do that? If you are born again within your heart, genuinely born again of the Spirit, he cannot take your salvation. He cannot send you to hell. He cannot separate you from the love of God. So what does he do? He has to depress. He has to cast down. He has to get your strength. He's after your strength. He must have your strength to stop you, to bind you like a spider would a fly. He's got to stop you because if you keep joy, you're going to have strength. If you have strength, you're going to have a vision. If you have a vision, you're going to overthrow the kingdom of the devil or every place where he's trying to work. You're going to show up at one time or another. Somebody will, and they're going to hinder his work.
So he says, let's do something in the world.
He says, you're a Christian. Why worry about it? Why not make a little money on the side and you can be twice as happy? You can be a Christian and have the good things of life too. See, whereas God has already promised us all things that pertain unto life, saying that if we seek the kingdom first, all of the other things would be added unto us. But the devil knows in that he's left out. So he comes up with a little business for you. He comes up with a little deal for you. He comes up with a little something on the side. He's got a little something else that brings the carnal mind into it to where he can get into it. Like the worm that's bored its way down through the apple and is headed for the heart to corrupt the thing. See, so he's doing everything he can to get down to the heart of that thing. Because if the worm ever strikes the heart of the apple, it'll fall off of the tree. Long as it's just struck on the outer surface, you can cut it off. It'll keep drawing the life from the little stem from the tree. But if he ever gets into the stone of it, then it's rotten. So he's working to try to get into your heart. And he's depressing you to cause you to feel bad in every way. He'll bring all kind of feelings. He'll let a man pass before a woman, or a woman pass before a man, and sometimes in obscene clothing, or sometimes the woman will have a spirit when she passes by, or the man will have a spirit. Or he'll let you look at a signboard, or pick up a magazine, or switch on the TV, or turn the radio on, any little thing. You'll be clean and whole in your mind and thinking about the things of God. And over here, somebody working will start cursing and snorting, and you'll hear all that filth. Or like a man that called the other day, I was talking to him over the telephone. He talked so dirty and so filthy. I told my wife when I got off the telephone, I said, I feel dirty all over from having to listen to his dirty, filthy mouth. See, and yet I know I'm clean in my heart, and I know what to do about it. You know, if you've got a shower, all you've got to do is wash the filth away. But the thing is, just average, everyday living, you have to go out. You get smelly. You perspire. The filth that is within the flesh. Whereas the Bible speaks of this as to the infiltration of the flesh. There's no good thing within the flesh. There has to be a natural type of that. And the odors that come from the body is penetrating, coming through your genetics, or coming out the pores of your skin. All of this poison is being eradicated and it's coming out. See, it is symbolic because God has to put you under the showers of God, and sometimes you have to turn on the hot water and use a little soap and detergents or whatever as to the garment, as to the bodies. You have to wash away the perspiration because daily activity automatically causes that. People who work naturally work in the world, they perspire and they get rid of this. People that don't work, they die. They die a lot sooner. Take a man that he's not active. He doesn't work. He just lounges around, lays around, he'll die quick. He'll begin to fleshen up in his body, or he'll begin to shrink in his body, or something will begin to happen to him because, see, he's not perspiring and he's not following the laws of nature to take out the filth, to get the filth out of his body. Because though you have means of vomiting if something goes wrong in your system, though you have the means of the anus as to elimination of poison, as to ptomaine poison, or as to uremic poison, you have an outlet as to passages, and as to bodily releases. God has given these things to you. So, in this, you daily eliminate the poisons that comes in with the food and the intakes of the things of this world, as to the waters. See, God has given that to you to keep the poison out of your lymph stream, to keep it out of the bulk forms of the bolus that goes in for the food. God does that. But that's not all. See, that's not sufficient altogether. You got to work. And when you work, you perspire. You've got to do something. You've got to be active. And I'm telling you again that jogging isn't going to do the job. That isn't going to do the job. You might get up a perspiration. You might sweat. And children can run and jump. They do that. If they don't do that too much, they're all right. But you start bouncing around, and the first news you know, your liver's going to be like that, and your heart's going to be like that, and the interior of your body's going to be flopping around, and you're going to have something tore up and something loose, and like this king of joggers not too long ago, you're going to drop dead like he did. Or like the other day, I heard about this basketball player, was it? Was he a basketball player, Pete? Is that his name? He said he never felt better in his life and had a heart attack, and over he went. Now, I'm telling you this because you're going to have to be spiritually active in God if you eliminate these poisons that Satan puts into you. You can't keep your faith straight, and you can't keep the system of the inner man straight unless you're active in something for God. Without a vision, the people perish. In the natural life, you've got to have a natural vision that will cause you to be active, alert, and to stay alive. And in the spiritual world, you've got to do the same thing. If you're somebody that just wants to read and sit around and read and just eat and eat of the natural things and never get out and utilize your ability in God to testify, to witness, to preach, or to tell somebody, to help somebody, or to work in an office, or to nail a nail or saw a board, or do something that toward a godly cause, if you're a person just going to lounge around, you're going to die and go to hell. You'll never get the spiritual poison out of your system. That's why I said what I did about the man coming to me about I should pray for somebody else. I thought anybody that's in the wretched condition that you're in and that would be in violation of everything that the brotherhood stands for and tell me to pray for somebody else that I personally happen to know the other individual and know that the other individual is in better shape than he is because the other individual was in my early ministry, and God worked a great miracle in their family that is still there today. So we've got to do something. You've got to do something for God. I was talking about little Micah this morning. He's worth three or four of these men around here. He does a man's job. He comes, and he doesn't just play around in some childish little way. He does a man's job. He comes out with a regularity, wanting something to do for God. And he's out there when some of the men drift in, and he's still there when some of the men drift out. And he's working while others stand around doing nothing. I told him this morning, I said, Micah, you ought to feel like a real man. You look in the mirror, you know. Well, he could feel like a real man because he does do something worthwhile. But some of you women don't do nothing. And some of you men don't do nothing for God. Your whole life is built around what you want to do. And then you can't understand why that you don't get the revelation of God. Why that you don't get the hidden manner. Why that you don't get this hidden wisdom. You don't understand it. I can't understand it, Brother Pike. I come to church. You know, I do this, I do that. But when it really is narrowed down, I know for truth that you don't do nothing spiritual. All you do is think about money and making money and business and eating and drinking and riding and visiting and having cars and houses and homes. Food, and all the other kind of things, your children, your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, you never get your mind on God to where you just think about holy things and godly things and revelating things and the spiritual world, Achanda, and world evangelism and doing something for a widow or for an orphan or doing something on the home front as to building up the buildings or keeping them in good shape or keeping them from rotting down or working on the machinery or finding your way into something. You never do that. The sisters participate in something for God. What do? You go out and do something exactly contrary to the Bible and contrary to the Word of God, something to reproach the house of God and the kingdom of God. Whereas maybe you one time have had a thing with God or was doing something for God, you're not satisfied. Out you go. You've got to wallow in the mire and get yourself all mixed up and messed up. And then you come and say, Brother Pike, I've changed my mind. I want to do something. That isn't going to work. That isn't going to work. You can't go out there and defile yourself with the world and come back and say, hey, I'm a virgin. You can't do that. Once you defile yourself out there, you are not a virgin. The Bible said concerning this 144,000, they were virgins. And they followed the Lamb whithersoever he went. And they were they that were not defiled with women. That is to say, it's the same way whether it's man or woman. You go out in the world, you defile yourself with the world, your ambition is for some kind of career.
Your ambition is for some kind of thing that you can retire on later, have a nice home and income for your family, you know, and spend the last years of your life out somewhere fishing or boating or some. See, that's to God, that's wild. To God, that's unclean. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't see nothing unclean about it. Well, it's unclean in the sight of God. The Bible said Satan saveth the things that be of the flesh, and that's things of the flesh, and Satan is unclean. You don't have any sanctification when you think like that and plan like that. There's only one cleanliness in God, and that's the mind of Christ. That's the only thing that'll sanctify you. And when you mess around with these other things, like I'm speaking of, then thoughts of depression come. All of these thoughts come because you give place to Satan. The Bible, that's why it uses the terms abstain from fleshly lust, which in the original rendering is desire. Abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. And the more that you think carnally, the more you think naturally, the more you plan as fleshly, then the more of the enemy you are to Christ. So, the more that these oppressing thoughts begin to come to you and war against your mind, and then you're cast down. You don't have any strength. You don't have any joy. You don't have any jubilance. You know what? I can take, there's some of you that's right here that's listening to me that I'm looking at right now. I can take some of you, and I could mention to you about making $10,000, and you would bubble. You would bubble like a pot boiling and bubbling over. I could mention to you something about spiritual understanding. It don't even faze you. It don't even faze you. Why is that? Because you're of the world. You love the things of the world. Your excitement is in money. You are a slave to mammon. There's some of you women that you could give you a new living room suit or get you something new as to apparel or whatever, and you'd just be excited, give you $100 just to spend and frolic and throw away, and you'd be so excited. Say something to you about spiritual things, why, you don't even get turned on, as the world says. You don't even come to reality. You just hid back in the background back here somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? Why is that? It's because you're of the world. You're of the world, and you love the things of the world because Satan has got you, and you've got the mind of Satan, and you've got the mind to feed from the things of the world. You're gullible toward the things of the flesh and the things of the world, and the only excitement that you get are those things. But you say, but Brother Pike, I come to church. I'm always coming to church, somebody says, and the men's meeting too. I know, and you don't do nothing in men's meeting when you come. And when you come to church, you don't listen at nothing. That is to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. You don't have an ear to hear. You don't do nothing. You come to church today and you leave and you go back 2 weeks from now. You're just exactly like you was before. You have no ambition to come up and help the brethren. You have no ambition to give to God. You have no ambition to go anywhere, in any place, in any way that might profit God. No ambition whatsoever. So see, going to church is nothing but a testimony against you in the day of judgment. You've got to work if you're going to get the poison out of your body. You've got to get out and work. And the Bible said the sluggard won't plow by reason of cold, and neither shall he reap in the time of harvest. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't see how you could sweat in this weather. Well, John was telling me the other day he had to take his coat off. He was working down there, snow, whatever. He was sweating, and some of the others said they were sweating too. See, when you work, then you get rid of the poison. When you don't, you sit around the house and mama grumbles to daddy and daddy grumbles to mama and mother and daddy grumbles to son and son to daughter and on and you just got a riffraff in the house all the time. It's all you do is just grumble and mumble. Take a family where the man is lazy and won't get out on a natural job. It'll be a riffraff till the wife will get so upset she'll run him clear out of the house. He gets to be loathsome in her sight because he's there all the time. Every time she looks, he's stuck right under, as they say. And she just gets so sick of him. But if he'll go out and work a little bit, be gone a little bit, be interested in her welfare a little bit and the children's welfare and come home and bring a dollar or two once in a while and a little food, well, she'll make all kind of fuss over him. She gets excited over him. Because he means something to her. You know? But it's like having an old toad sitting in the living room all the time. You just get the way you want to kick him out. So this is what I'm saying, folks. I say toad because the Bible uses that as about the lowest form of life, you know. And that's about the lowest form of life when a man won't make his family live. And the Bible said he's denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. So I said all that to say this. I want the wisdom of God. I want the hidden things of God. I want God to do something for me. See, I want God to do something for me. I want to serve God because I love him. I want to be part of his kingdom and part of the things that he's doing. I want to be alive. And I am alive. And I feel alive. Maybe some of you ain't alive. Maybe you don't feel too alive. But I feel alive from inside, from my spirit, clear through my being, all the way out into my brain, my eyes. I am alive. I mean, I'm fully alive. I'm alive because there's something on the inside that makes me alive. Though there is an outer oppression, Paul said his heart was filled with continual sorrow. And he was in peril of his countrymen and all kind of things, false brethren, whatever. And these oppressions are continually coming, but I don't have to give place to them. I can keep praying. I can put up my shield of faith that I quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I'm not worried about whether I'm going to know this and know that. The Bible said the Spirit of God searcheth out all of the things of God. Even the deep things of God. So then God shares with me of the hidden wisdom, of the hidden manna. God shares with me all these things all the time. So I thought I'd read just a little bit and exhort you just a little bit as to help you to know what the man of God said about a full reward, going on to perfection, and contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. The faith of Jesus Christ. And let me say this in closing. When I say the faith of Jesus Christ, I know that I'm saved by his merits, by his virtue, by everything that he is, his righteousness. So it seems reasonable for me to understand that I'm saved by his faith. The faith which is by him, by which we're sanctified. And God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, so I say the faith of God. We're getting close to the translation, folks. We're getting close to the rapture. Whatever you want to call it. You know, as to your terms. We're getting close. And I brought out the other night things as to where we're at right now. As to how close it could be on, which could be any time. But I tried to explain to you that during the period of our association as the pastor and the people of the church, that we have been perfecting your faith. That we are set here, the ministry is set here for the perfecting of your faith. And that we've been telling you things that pertain to your salvation. We've been bringing in detail into your mind and into your heart all of the wonderful promises that God has given you that pertains unto life. Jesus said, my words are life. That is, they are promises of life. They are life. They are spirit. If you'll take my word as to what I'm saying and use this word as to furbish or refurbish your life as to mixing faith with it, it is life. It will give you natural life and give you a superseding spiritual infilling of life. See, life. You come to the services. I love you. I want to try to help you. But I have some of you that are so carnal. I've got a man that sits over to my left. He comes in regular, sits about the same place all the time. And the man is just as ambitious in the natural when it comes to the things of the world, even to lust, just warring with him, you know, like bees and honey. But during the time of the services, his mind is as carnal. It's just as carnal as it can be. He's carnally minded in the services. He's carnally minded out yonder. He's fleshly ambitious as to his carnal mind. See, and sits in the services, waiting for the service to get through so he can go out. Pitiful. I don't have a lot of spiritual people. But them that are spiritual, I'm perfecting your faith in God. And when I say perfecting your faith, you might say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, by perfecting my faith? I'm here to tell you something today that maybe you didn't know yesterday. And then when you fit this together with something else, as Sister Betty's always putting together puzzles. See, and we're always, you know, getting together. You put in one piece of puzzle, then you put in another piece of puzzle, and she just loved to do it day and night. So we don't have any problem except about my prayer time, and she's still putting together puzzles. But you put in a little piece, I give it to you, I give you another little piece, you put it in, and after a while you've got the picture. See, you've got a perfect puzzle, or you've got a perfect picture, or you've got a perfect faith. And I'm trying to perfect your faith. Now, when your faith becomes a perfect faith, it is no more a human faith. See, human faith is in part, and we use it to believe unto righteousness with our heart. But when it becomes a perfect faith, and it will become a perfect faith, the saints of God will be perfected, and the ministry will perfect their faith in due season. And when it becomes perfect faith, it is no longer a human faith, it is the faith of Christ. You're contending for the perfect faith, the perfected faith. You're contending for it. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints, faith that was so perfect it could stop the moon, it could stop the sun, it could open up the waters of the Red Sea and of the Jordan. It could open the earth up. It had control as mind over matter, even the mind of God or the mind of Christ, over the form of matter through believing over all the world. So all things are possible to him that believes. So this is what we're doing. And when you come to church and you're half-hearted and you don't half listen and you're waiting to get out to the meal ticket, you know, or your mind is on the natural, it means that you didn't get it. It doesn't matter how nice a fellow you are or how fine a woman you are. It doesn't matter about that. You didn't get it because you are not eligible for it. Your mind is not the kind of mind. For the things of man knoweth the spirit or mind of man, and they come to him. And that's the kind of mind that you've got. You want to do the things that are natural. So you're natural, and to be carnally minded is death. So the Spirit of God, the things of God, the things of God's Spirit cometh to the spiritual man. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. You have the mind of Christ, and your interest is in world evangelism. Your interest is in doing something for God. And I'm not talking about preachers that just want to get on TV and draw crowds and get money and build colleges. I'm talking about real God people. Not just people that belongs to some denominational or non-denominational church that's just routine. It's not that. I'm not talking about that at all. But I'm talking about the elect, the saints of God. And the Bible said the elect received it and the rest of them was blinded. Satan, even Lucifer, the prince of this world, has blinded their eyes that they cannot see when good comes. They have not eyes of understanding to comprehend, to see, and so then they don't get it. So I'm telling you that the translation as to the redemption of the body, as to removing the plague, as to bearing the image of the heavenly, depends on your perfected faith. Let's go on to a full reward. Be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. And everyone that be perfect shall be as the Father in heaven. And I say again, many shall sit on the throne. Many. He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. All right, that means into a ruling power preeminence to where you can rule throughout the earth. All right, so we see that many of you haven't received the things of God. Paul preached to all of them, but he said the elect received it and the rest was blinded. And he said, they that were foreordained unto eternal life received it. And he said, of the rest of them, your blood be upon your own head. All right, so I've told you over and over, and I tell you again today. But it's for sure that when we stand at the judgment, you'll understand what we're saying. The songwriter said, and we'll understand it better by and by. Let's stand together. So then the church is coming to a perfect mind of Christ, in that there will be transformated in their minds from thought to thought, glory to glory, and the old beast mind will be taken out because they are not beast. And the beast will be left to the gullible side of life. But the sons of God will have that supremacy of understanding through the revelation of Jesus Christ as to the hidden manner and the hidden wisdom.
And they will be the great bodily members throughout eternity to rule and to own all things. So when we say these things to you, we're trying to bring you to the translating faith. Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. See, we got to remember one thing. Somebody would say, I'm a Christian, and I'm patiently waiting for the Lord to come and take me home. But you're going to be disappointed. I tell you, you're going to be disappointed. You've got to be pressing in for the knowledge of God. Pressing in for the strength of God. Pressing in for the revelation of God and the faith of God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me all these other people are Christians? And because they don't do that, they're going to be lost? I mean to tell you they're going to be lost. Not because they're Christians, but because they're not Christians. Somebody said, but they're born again, Brother Pike, even if they don't go along with you. No, that is not what it's all about. A person that is a human being, that is alive, is hungry. And you have to feed them, and they're going to look for a meal. And a person that is alive in God is going to be hungry and thirsting, and they're going to look for a meal. Otherwise, if they don't, if a man is dead, he's not going to hunger and thirst. And people that are spiritually dead, they're not going to hunger and thirst. They're just going to sit around. Someone said, like a knot on a log. They're going to sit around. They're not going to be active. They're not going to have any hunger. They're not going to have any thirst. So consequently, that means that them that don't hunger and thirst and don't try to go on to this faith and go on after these things don't have anything to start with, to begin with. Because the nature of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I have the nature that he had, he was always about his Father's business. If that nature is the same in me, I'm going to be about my Father's business. And if my father's of the devil, of the world, Jesus said, your father's of the devil. Or you're of the devil, your father. And of the world. Now, if that be so, then I'll be hungering and thirsting after the things of my father, which will be the devil, for he saveth the things that be of the flesh. I'll be interested in the natural securities of life, the natural advantages of life, the natural of life. Let's give him a hand. If you believe what I'm saying, somebody say amen. All right. So, this is why I tell you the truth, that we might be saved. Because I want to be saved. And somebody says, I am saved. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Close your eyes. I claim Jesus first of all, and he will answer when I call. For I know that I'm a child. The Son is set free. Remember, don't forget now, Satan cannot take your salvation. Beloved friends, Satan cannot touch you. You are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, and Satan cannot touch you. Never at any time can he touch you. God has sealed you in, so he can't take your salvation. Happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth. From mountaintop to mountaintop we can go by the virtue and the faith of the Son of God. So don't let the devil beat you down, and don't go after the things of the world. Abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. Don't go after those things. Just do what you have to do in the world, and God will bless it and sanctify it. And having food and raiment, be there with content. Be there with content. For you brought nothing into the world. And it's for sure that you're going to take nothing out of the world. Just think. What you are, the highest honors, you've got them. Your father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're his daughter. You're his princess. You're his son. You're the prince of heaven. You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as any son would be of his father. Born this day have I begotten myself a son, the first brother of many brethren, and the first fruits of them that slept. And just think now, if you'll leave the things of the world alone, He'll meet your needs. You're already exceedingly rich. You're never going to die. You don't have to worry about aging. You shouldn't worry about aging because you're never going to die. You say, but I'm getting older. No, no, you're getting closer to youth. The ones that are younger are farther away from the youth of God and eternal living. They got farther to travel than you have. The older you get, the closer you are to youth as to becoming eternally youthful and alive and strong and healthy and filled with the wealth of God. Some people might have quite a bit of money on this earth, but folks, you just don't know how wealthy you are. Speaking of money, of power, of preeminence. You know, it's like Brother Branham when he said he was caught up beyond the veil and he saw his wife come running to him. She was a young girl. She was a young woman. She come running up to him. She had not lost her youth. Like I say, life has to go to seed to hide within the stone to keep the parasites from corrupting it. And if you please God, then you're not going to corruption. He suffered not His Holy One to see corruption, nor His soul to remain in hell, and you're His Holy One. And the death of the saints is precious in His sight. You're His Holy One. So, don't do the things of the world and give place to Satan to harass your mind and to just pounce on you all the time and make you feel dirty and make you feel cast down. Don't do the things out there. Somebody said, well, I can handle it, Brother Pike. I can watch this little television show. I tell you, you'll go to hell for that. You couldn't possibly have God and do that. There ain't no way. Somebody said, well, it's just something about it. I know, it's Satan. You hunger and thirst after the things of the world. You're gullible after the things of the world. If you had Christ on the inside, you wouldn't hunger and thirst after them kind of things. You'd hunger and thirst after the things of God. The Bible speaks of him being blessed that hungers and thirsts after the things of God, for he shall be filled. See, if you're hungry for money, if you're hungry for prestige, if you're hungry for position, comforts, convenience, businesses, concerned about appearance and concerned about your bodily way of life, you couldn't have God. That's not the nature of Christ. The nature of Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same to 1,000 generations. So the Bible said, examine yourself. See what kind of hunger and thirst you got. Examine yourself, lest ye be reprobates. If you don't examine yourself and find out who you are, you may be a reprobate. And calling yourself a believer all the time. But a man believes in what he does, and he does what he believes in. And a child is known by his doings as to what he is as a believer. Like a sister. I believe she's a sister. She stumbled not too long ago. I heard of it. She got so upset and out of sorts, she said some things she shouldn't have said. She got kind of foul with her thoughts, words. Whereas the Spirit can seize you and cause you to do that. But if she'd have listened at me, she wouldn't have done that. But it was she just got her mind too much on the natural things because she hadn't done it before. She always kept her mind on fasting and praying and seeking God. The devil didn't get a place. Some of you have done the same thing. Somebody said, you mean somebody cursed, Brother Pike? Well, to curse is when I curse you and don't bless you. That's what a curse is. Job cursed the day that he was born. What you call cursing, I say so often, is just a mixed up, muddled up mind, you know. Take certain words out of the proper setting. And the devil gets you confused and gets you all scrambled up in your mind. Attacks you before you know it. When down in your heart you love Jesus. See, he'll do that way with drink. He'll do that way with foul words. He'll do that way with anything. He'll muddle up your life. Cause you to do something you got no business doing. But if you'll stay away from the flesh, stay away from the desires of the world, he won't be able to do that. And when you stagger and stumble, it doesn't touch your soul because you didn't mean to do that. You didn't do that. You wouldn't have done that for nothing. And like I say, people that practice those things don't have anything to start with. I'm not talking to them about these things. While we're standing here, I'm going to call somebody up to pray with you. You think these things over. Folks, think these things over. Don't lose your joy. David said, Father or Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. When I had my strength, he said, I run through a troop and leaped over a wall. You're invincible. Don't lose that joy. My, can you imagine what it's like when you think everything's just right between you and God? And you know your faith is up. Why, nobody can't overthrow you. You just feel like you could plow through a wall. So don't let the devil cast you down. Don't do that. I see these little ones. They're so sweet. They come up here and kneel at the altar. So very precious and sweet. The little hearts must be thinking something. Out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God has perfected praise. While you got your hands lifted up, I'm going to ask Brother Vince to come up and dismiss us, if he will. And while Brother Vince is coming, I want you to seriously consider what I'm saying, because the end of the world is upon you. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, I hope you can differentiate between right and wrong. The Bible said they that have exercised their minds unto godliness is able to discern between the good and evil, and the meat is for them because they're strong. And I hope that you can tell what I'm saying and understand what I'm saying. With wisdom, get understanding. You enter into this great world by your eyes of understanding. And the veil is still over the hearts of the people in the reading of the Old Testament as to Calvary, and the veil over Moses' face. And they cannot steadfast see unto that great light and that glory, or that understanding which Moses knew. But when the veil is done away with in Christ, it's a new birth. And you get on this side of Calvary, then you're in the new world. But if you can't get beyond Calvary in your minds, in the eyes of your understanding, you can never dwell in this new world. You're still under the letter that killeth, even the law of sin and death, and the veil of death. So then, try to understand what the preacher's saying, and yet not what I'm saying, but what the Spirit is saying unto the church, so that you can make the translation and that you don't be lost. Because I bear your record as your pastor. Many of you, even at Bethlehem, are going to be lost. The way you're going, you're going to be lost. I tell you the truth, you're going to have to do something. And though you come to church with a regularity, you're still going to be lost. But if you'll take what I'm telling you, believe what I'm telling you, the Bible said the word of God there with the Jews, it didn't profit them that heard it because it was not mixed with faith. Somebody would shed a tear and say, well, I believe it. That don't mean you believe nothing. Esau cried, wept bitterly, still didn't get the birthright. But when you do what I told you to do, that is the proof. Show me your faith by what you do. That's the proof. If you don't do it, you can well up with tears and feel good and whatever. That don't mean nothing. The rain comes on the unjust as well as the just. But take my words and incorporate it in your life and become a new creature in Christ Jesus.